Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio, quality living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician, and it's another one. And as always, we have amazing guests for you. We're so happy you tune in every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard, as well as the phones, the smartphones, and the all of the different tablets. You just go and you click on WQCS.org. You can listen live anywhere. And PRX, Public Radio Exchange, we're on there as well, Maximum Health. And today I'm so happy to have a special guest call in from Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, a very special program that's been created. And he's going to talk to us about that because it's, you know, it's definitely time that we all as a health conscious community demand more from physicians, from facilities, from ourselves. And I think that more has this word integrated, connected to it. And I like to think of that as being the best of everything. And Thomas Jefferson is making their play for this. They're putting together so much for their patients and the health community at large. And Dr. Monty is one of those at the helm. He is the director of the new integrative department over at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Thank you for joining us, sir.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Ken.
So integrative medicine, what does that mean to you?
You know what? It's such a great question because that is something I had to really think about 12 years ago when I was asked to take this position of Director of Integrative Medicine at Thomas Jefferson University and Hospital. And it was just a teeny tiny program with a few services and not well defined. And so the first order of business was, what is integrative medicine going to mean to us as an institution, since that term can mean so many different things to so many different people? And for me, I saw it as this really exciting opportunity to develop something exciting and that was really needed in our society and that patients really want, that people really want. And, you know, as a physician, I see the value of the biomedical model that we have, and it's really, really good at certain things, particularly acute care problems. If somebody, breaks a bone or has a raging strep throat, there's a fix that biomedicine has that's good. The problem is that we are faced as a nation with lots of other kinds of problems, and that we arguably have the best medical technology for those acute care problems in the world. But we have a society where our health status as a nation isn't the best in the world. We don't even make the top 10 list for healthy life expectancy. So there's, for men or women, and so there's a real disconnect between what the tools are of the physicians and healthcare providers out there in the conventional model and what's going on with the health of our nation. Mm-hmm. And what's really disconnected are all of the things that contribute to wellness, well-being, overall health status, hence overall health status, and how well we are going to live as we enter the middle decades of life and after. And all of the chronic problems that are becoming a huge issue, a huge cost burden for the nation, from type 2 diabetes to most everything else that has an inflammatory component and a lifestyle component, are really crippling us as a nation. And so we need to bring back into the medical model the whole person and all of the things that contribute to health and wellness. And we also need to stretch a bit to think about where there's value in other healthcare models and where we can be edgy when the therapies are safe, such as novel stress reduction programs for people with chronic health problems, or using natural molecules and nutrient-based therapies to improve somebody's treatment plan. So our goal at Jefferson early on was to define this model, to create clinical programs that made sense, to create a research arm of what we do so that we could test promising therapies, novel interventions, and also an academic arm so that we can share what we learn with the population and with other healthcare providers. So over the past decade or so, as we've built that model, we've reached some milestones, and so I'm excited to share with you that in the last month, Jefferson has elevated integrative medicine to an institute. So we are now the Marcus Institute of Integrative Health at Thomas Jefferson University and Hospital. And our two clinical centers fall into that institute. The department that we're creating will fall under that institute. And so we're excited to really move the ball forward in integrating this model into the rest of medicine.
Now, Marcus, as in Bernie Marcus, I met him at in the Palm Beach function you held. It's named after him because he's obviously contributing in many ways. The idea behind his involvement is connected to Jefferson University, correct? In ways that he's experienced your expertise and other physicians.
Mr. Marcus, one of the co-founders of Home Depot, and did very well. And when he retired, he started his own foundation, the Marcus Foundation, which is a private foundation. You can't really access them. They find you. And I was very fortunate because they became very interested in some of the research that we were doing about 6 years ago and reached out to me and became partners in some of the research and clinical programs that we've built over the last several years. And, we're monumental in us creating our Villanova suburban location, which has really cutting-edge technology. We have the only integrated PET MRI scanner in the region and one of only 30 in the country that allows us to do clinical assessments, but also do really novel cutting-edge research. So, Mr. Marcus and the Marcus Foundation have been just, enormous partners in moving this forward.
Now, I want to backtrack just a bit because there are people that are thinking from the beginning of what you had to say that, oh, this guy's wrong. We are living longer than ever before. I want to underscore, highlight, and italicize the fact that it's healthy life expectancy.
Right.
And
longer,
so,
but not better.
Yes.
Right. So we are, life expectancy increases. Lots of countries around the world, life expectancy continues to increase. But when they look at healthy life expectancy amongst the industrialized countries in the world, we don't do so well in terms of, by healthy life expectancies, disease burden, illness burden, quality of life. So we're getting older, but with a lot of disease burden compared to other countries.
Yes. And, you know, one thing that has concerned me as a physician, and I try to expand myself and continue to educate as a holistic physician, I've heard a lot in the area of genetics. And while genetics and that genetic research may help in certain cases pushing us forward, there are people, I think, that want to put too much investment in that idea that that's going to be the magic, you know, cure and the cure-all for everything. You know, I'd like to think that lifestyle and all of these other elements that you're now saying that Thomas Jefferson University is embracing is really the way to go in terms of whole life care or holistic living, holistic-based healthcare. And I just want to urge people to really think about that because it's filtering over into all sorts of things like, you know, child selection, pregnancies, you know, preparing people but for having healthier children. But there's nothing like good food, good lifestyle, exercise, you know what I mean? Less stress and a whole scope of all of these good things. Like, I'm sure you're involving, I'm looking at your list here just to be specific. When I look at what the medical services are, it's acupuncture, oriental medicine program, which encompasses a whole lot. There's the Great Life program, which we got to talk about. You do the gastroesophageal center you have there, the natural hormone replacement. Then there's the Marcus Institute of Integrative Health, Myrna Brand Center, and then the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center. So there's also the integrative measures being put into the cancer care. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this balance that we're trying to achieve is you know.
Well, you said it perfectly, Dr. Ken. I think that there has been this huge emphasis over the last few decades to focus on the genes. And, you know, genes are important. We can't deny the importance of genes. However, healthy life expectancy, which is what we're really talking about, once you hit adulthood, is about 75% of what you expose the genes to. So how genes express themselves has everything to do with the environment. So that interplay between nature and nurture, or genes and environment, genes can express themselves in different ways, and how different alleles get turned on and off have to do with the exposure of the genes from everything that we think, feel, eat, experience, stress levels, whether we're exposed to poisons, toxins, how efficient our liver is based upon other things we do to deal with the toxins we're exposed to, how healthy the gut is to keep pathogens out and inflammatory chemicals down. All of what we do that we bathe those genes in and push those genes to express themselves in different ways accounts for 75% of our healthy life expectancy. So the old thinking that my father had high blood pressure, his father had high blood pressure, so that means, you know, I'm genetically predisposed to it, so I will have high blood pressure.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not always the equation.
Right, because we can affect the genetic expression of those things. You know, kind of a metaphor that I like to use is the genes are sort of like keys on a keyboard. Mm-hmm. So how we play the piano determines the music. So the keyboard itself, that has some importance. So if we were to take, my grandmother's old upright piano and a Steinway grand piano, the quality of the keys matters for the quality of the music, right?
Right.
But I always like to say, because he is my favorite, if we were to bring Horowitz back from the dead, put him at my grandmother's old upright piano, and put me at the Steinway with my 2 years of failed piano lessons, you know, who are you going to want to listen to? Where's the most beautiful music going to come from? Now, sure, you can say the genes have some effect, because if you put, you know, Horowitz at the Steinway, you could do even better. But boy, he can do pretty great at just about any piano you would put in there.
I love this analogy.
Have some importance, but how we play them,
yeah,
once we reach adulthood, that's the major determinant,
yes,
of how we function, feel, think, thrive, and what our ultimate healthy life expectancy is going to be.
So predisposition does not equal certainty.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Now, and to go further, everything in a sense, and this I don't want to get too deep, but everything is information when it comes down to it. It's
right.
All, you know, not, it's not just, I don't want to say it's like, you know, ones and zeros, but furthermore, there's the beauty of grace and there's something special in the space between that we're figuring out too. So when we look at the DNA and genes and all that, there's this space between that. We don't really know how that affects the whole equation. So we're thinking about just the ones and zeros and how we can alter those. But we don't know down the road how that's all gonna change. So the best way is to, like I said, and like you're saying, balance everything, be aware of everything that we do. And you're putting this into a nice package. Now tell us about this great life. I want to get it right. The Great Life Program. It's an executive Great Life Program. Is that something you enroll into, or how does that all work?
Right. So thanks for that. One of the physicians I work closely with here at the Marcus Institute and I wrote a popular press book a few years ago called The Great Life Makeover. And because it was a popular press book, the editors, the publishing house insisted on the word makeover. I wasn't crazy about it, but I guess it, you know, it sort of fits. But it's really about everything you and I are talking about. What is the roadmap forward? And how do you think about everything from diet, nutrition, to hormones, to when something does get off kilter and, you know, your lab values are starting to show that you're going in the wrong direction? What are the interventions that make sense medically? What are some of the natural things you can do? How do you combine that information so that you're doing the smartest thing possible and the most holistic thing possible? And we found that a lot of people then just wanted to have a full evaluation from us after that and something more than just an office visit. You know, certainly people can come in for our consultation. So we decided, why don't we put together something like an executive health program where you get looked at head to toe and cardiovascular testing, but with our integrative flair, where we look at some of the markers that holistic physicians like you and I like to look at, and that different from, say, going to the Mayo Clinic and having a full day executive physical where you say, okay, here's all your numbers, now eat well and do your best and we'll see you next year, that a part of the day is really, how do we forge the path forward? How do you change some of these numbers? What are the things you should be doing? And how do we help you to get there? One of the beauties of working, of having developed a place like I work in, is that we have all of the supportive programs. And I also know for people who come out of town, what to link them to wherever they live. So it's been this really interesting journey having this program with our opportunity of the PET MRI scanner in Villanova, we can even do imaging when people have certain types of risk factors and to do total body scans. And that also has allowed us to develop with one of our neurologists an executive brain health program for people who might be concerned about cognitive decline or have risk factors. So we can look at the brain and image it in a way that is very unique. Layer that with neurocognitive testing, a neurological exam, an autonomic nervous system evaluation, and then take our holistic integrative model and apply it to where this person is and what they need to be doing path forward. So these are these great comprehensive programs, but of course we have just, you know, regular consultative visits as well.
Mm-hmm. The idea that someone can be a part of this and that this is really a wonderful model for the future of medicine is exciting. And I really want to just applaud you right now. And if I could do it with a million hands, I would.
I appreciate that. And I also appreciate that, you know, sometimes the stars line up.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have some good donors, lucky to get some NIH grants. And then, you know, we have a really supportive president, Steve Klasko, and dean of the medical school, Mark mm-hmm. Tikhachinsky, who've embraced this as a service line
yes.
and something that they want to incorporate into Jefferson across the board, which is unique.
Yeah. And I want a special thanks to Jane Corman, Mr. and Mrs. Corman, the reasons why I found
amazing
out about
people.
This. So they're supporters, obviously, and she's a wonderful individual, and I'm happy to be involved with her here in Palm Beach County.
And they're trustees of Jefferson. I mean, they're huge friends of the institution.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, question. You have this wonderful sort of program. You have the sort of coordination in place to usher patients through and place them where they need and get them the best care and holistic and so forth and so on. But the future, in my experience of real patient care being met, slips through the cracks when the physicians themselves do not see need for advancing the protocols past their abilities, right?
Right.
So
right.
There's this new way of thinking, getting out of that God sort of complex, understanding that you don't have all the tools. Your toolbox may be shiny and beautiful and you have great tools in there, but if you're a carpenter, you can't do electricity always and you can't always paint, you know, so forth and so on. So we all have these parts. How is the education process conveying to these new doctors entering the field through Thomas Jefferson University a sort of way of being? Is their education being met with this, new process? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an excellent point. So I can comment on what we're doing, but also what's happening on a national level, because I think more and more, especially younger physicians, realize that this is important, but there's still this huge disconnect conventional medical school training, what they get. So they know there's something more to nutrition than what we were taught in medical school. Right. Remember, we were taught nutritional deficiencies,
sure.
And that's it.
Yeah, so, and saturated fats and the pyramid, and yeah.
the pyramid, which was all wrong.
Yeah.
And the the only thing I knew about vitamin C was scurvy, and vitamin D was rickets,
right.
Not like the healthful benefits of those things and you know, what the good things are that they do. And I
right.
think that's slowly changing in the medical curriculum, but it's still very much the way that it was. And
yeah.
So there's a real thirst on the part of a lot of people. What we do is offer courses to the medical students. So one of our physicians teaches the Healer's Art course in the second year curriculum. We offer student rotations for electives in the fourth year. We do some things with the residents in internal medicine and in psychiatry and in family medicine. We are constantly thinking about how to do more. You know, you only have so much bandwidth as you're growing, but that's going to be a major emphasis of ours in the next 2 to 3 years, especially now that on a national level, a board has been established. It's not an ACGME board, but it's still a credible board certification process for integrative medicine. So our growth in expanding educational opportunities is happening simultaneously with what we see on a national level and some of the major academic pushes on a national level to create better educational environments for medical students and people who are postgraduate.
Hmm. So you're doing it. This is real. I love it. It makes so much sense, you know, and that's just a hole that I feel. How do we fill this? Because that's the problem, is that, you know, you either get the physician that says, the current physician that says, you know, I don't really know much about it, but you can try it, you know, or they say, well, I know this guy, he's done miracles, and that's kind of what I get to be a part of, after years of working in this community. And then you get some that say, no, absolutely not. That's not a course of treatment for this. That's not an established scientific, clinical, whatever, throwing those words, you know, for this. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just down to their lack of knowledge, you know, otherwise ignorant. So now that you're going to be able to educate the up and coming physicians, we're going to have a new a new breed, so to speak, of people that will think outside the box and be able to really fully service their patients more than maybe Google.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, exactly to your point, that actually the data that continues to come out, the literature that continues to get published that maybe a lot of doctors aren't reading, completely supports the approach to patient care that you and I have been taking over the past decade. Yeah. That you know, back when we started, there was, it made sense intuitively, and you could connect the dots with the science that was there. But wow, the science is overwhelming now. When some physicians say, you know, they don't know if a probiotic could be useful for some patient groups, you know, I have like 15 papers I could send them.
Yeah.
The value of an omega-3 fatty acid for some patient groups, why you would give coenzyme Q10 to somebody you're also putting on a statin drug. Like, yeah, these things
should
are
be
like,
basic.
That should be part of regular medical practice, yes, and they're still not.
No, or why not give a whole foods-based calcium and also prescribe K2? Like, you know, so
exactly,
that it doesn't, so the calcium doesn't sit in the blood and in the muscle tissue and actually makes it to the bone, you know. Simple
right,
things.
You just lost the average physician with that sentence, Dr. Kavanaugh.
Well, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I know those out there are saying, how do I find these people? I mean, obviously you can do a search for Thomas Jefferson University. There's hospitals.jefferson.edu. I urge all of you out there
Marcus
to go.
Marcus Institute.
Yeah, Marcus Institute, Dr. Monti, M-O-N-T-I, Daniel Monti, MD. He's. I mean, obviously this is a very special show. This is a history in the making. And for those of you that also, I would urge you to, you know, I would spend years writing a book with a co-author called Health and Balance. You can go to juiceandessence.com. It taps into the food aspect of some of what we've been talking about. And I have to say, it's really a phenomenal book. There's nothing out there like it. It's a seasonal sort of food journal. I have to send you a copy, Dr. Monti.
Please and, do. I would love to read that.
It really addresses all this in a very plain and simple and lovely manner. But
love to give it to my patient.
There you go. Let's work on that. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful, and your show really provides a tremendous service for people.
Yes. Well, blessings, and all the best, and I can't wait to come up and visit you guys and see what's going on.
Oh, we look forward to having you here.
All right. This has been another Maximum Health Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray. If you have any questions for me or suggestions, there's drkengrey.com. See you next time. If you don't believe